Lord. We are in the last lesson of this series. We started out in the 1st of December studying about a scarlet thread that weaves its way throughout the Old Testament all the way to the end of the New Testament, or the end of the Gospels, I should say, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and then all the way through the New Testament and into our lives today, the scarlet thread, which is, of course, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be studying today that scarlet thread that started in the Garden of Eden goes all the way to the throne, all the way to the throne. And that's the name of our lesson today. Our focus thought is the sacrifice of Christ paid the full price for salvation once for all people and forever. The blood that Jesus shed was accepted in the heavens. Praise the Lord. Our focus verse, Hebrews 9 and 12, neither by the blood of bulls and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And then from the book of Hebrews 9, verse 22-28, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear before the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, but for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And then Hebrews 9, verse 10 through 14, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. All the way to the throne. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated. There is only one way, the Bible said, to God. Jesus said, I am the way. And he said, no man can come unto the Father except by me. And so he is the way. I know that sounds exclusive. He said, except you believe that I'm he, you shall die in your sins. I know that's exclusive. That's a very exclusive, but so be it. It just is. I'm not here to make excuses for God. Wouldn't that be silly? Making excuses for God? Amen. I'm just the messenger. Amen. I'm the mailman. I'm just telling you what he said. And I was thinking the other day, you know, that's my job. People don't have to believe what we say. We just have to tell them the message, that's all. I can't help it. If it offends somebody, I'll do my best not to make it offensive, if at all possible. I don't want to make it offensive. I don't want to, you know, hit people with it. I don't want to beat people up with it. But at the same time, I can't help what it says. It says what it says. Right? And I know people would like for me to, I was teaching church one time and they wanted me to agree with them that everything was all right. They didn't need the Holy Ghost or baptism in Jesus' name. Well, I can't say that. Now, if you can talk God in some kind of discount, that's fine. You go ahead and talk to him. And if he agrees with you, that's fine with me too. But that's, I can't do that, you see. I'm responsible for what the Bible says. And it just says it, just plainly, doesn't it? Amen. I mean, it's just there. I don't know. You really can't get around it. It's just very vivid, very plain, very straightforward. And so we're responsible just to say what it says. And that's what we do. Amen. I'm not here. People say, you're judging me. Well, that's not my job either. I'm not wearing any robes today. I don't have a gavel in my hand. Amen. I'm not shaking my finger at anybody. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, and that's my job. Amen. I hope that I can make it appealing. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to portray it in the love and the compassion and the mercy and the saving grace that God intended for it to be. Amen. But our job is just to tell folks about it. I know it's exclusive. But name one religion that's not. Hello? You know, people bashing Christianity for its exclusivity. Well, show me a religion that's not. Did you know there's even religions that exclude God? There are some people who say there's not even a God. Well, that's a religion that excludes God. Every religion's exclusive. Amen. You can't name any that are not. All of them are. So ours is no different than any other. And I know that. And we're not making excuses for it. Every religion has its truth claims. Amen. Even science claims truth, doesn't it? But truth requires study and proper interpretation of observations, understanding the complex and the context of the issues involved. So that's the same with biblical truth. The Bible did say, study to show yourselves approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it is important that we study. That is important that we know that. Amen. But we also, not along with facts, we have the assurance and the witness of the Holy Ghost. How many have ever felt the Holy Ghost? You believe that's real? Amen. You can't see it, but you can certainly feel it. And the Bible said that the Spirit of truth bears witness to truth. That's what I like about this as much as I respect people, I don't always have to agree with everybody. You don't have to agree with me. As a matter of fact, the Spirit of truth witnesses truth. Sometimes I hear something I've never heard before. And when I hear something like that, you know, a little light goes on and says, wait a minute. You know, when I was young, I just jump up and get excited. But now I think, check this out. Because a few rabbits I chased went nowhere. It sounded good, it just didn't stand up. Some of it was just wrong. Amen. So I've learned now that when I hear something that's different, I don't disregard it, but I want to give me a little time to prove it. Now that's scriptural, and that's a good thing. The Bible said the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was telling them was the truth. And that's a good thing. Don't be offended if somebody wants to check out what you say. It's okay. Let me tell you something. Acts 2:30 will hold water. Our doctrine will hold up to biblical study, biblical scrutiny. It will. And a matter of fact, it's the only doctrine that will. I dealt with some folks one time, and it was an issue over the oneness of God. And And they, well, they were not going to let my daughter go to their school because we didn't believe in the Trinity. And so they called me and talked me to me about it. And they said, "You really believe this oneness doctrine?" I said, "I surely do." I said, "Here's why I believe it." I said, "Because I can go to the Bible and I can prove my doctrine, but you cannot prove yours." I said, "We will come to a time in our discussion that you will say it's a mystery and nobody can really understand it. We don't have to resort to that." Amen. I said, "We don't have to resort to that. We don't reach a place when we say it's just a mystery. Oh no, it's plain. It's in the Scriptures. There's one God. And the Bible says there's one God." Amen. And it's easy to prove there's one God. In the Bible, it's easy to prove that Jesus Christ is God, according to the Scriptures. There's no problem with it. So you see, our doctrine is true. It's biblically true. And we can prove that. And we're not trying to be smart aleck. We're not trying to just disprove anybody. It's not about attitude. It's just about truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I just want to tell the truth, don't you? Amen. It's just the way it is. So the Holy Ghost bears witness to this truth. And the Bible bears witness to this truth. Amen. And this is our book right here. Some of you have heard of Johnny James. Johnny James is a preacher. I guess he's probably about 80 now. He's kind of getting up there a little. But he is literally a walking Bible. He has a photographic memory. Matter of fact, he doesn't carry a Bible. He carries it right here. He can quote any verse at any time. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. He not only can quote the Bible, he can quote the Quran, which of course is the Islam. That's their book. And he can quote verses out of their book. He just has this fantastic memory. And so he was quoting verses and comparing the Quran with as an Islamist in an airport. And he told him, the guy was reading the Quran, and he looked at him and he said, "My book's better than your book." And of course the guy was a little offended. And then Brother James started quoting things. And he'd quote the Quran, and he'd say, "This is the Quran says this," and he'd say, "And the Bible says this." And he'd say, "The Quran says this," and he'd quote where it was and give him the reference, and then he'd say, "And the Bible says this." And you know what? He proved to him that his book was better. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Word of God is. It's truth. It's truth. Now, I know it won't be long before I'll get thrown in jail for saying that. But right now we can say it. And even when I get thrown in jail, I'm still going to say it. So you'll get jail ministry. You get to come see me. Amen. But that's okay. Amen. We may have a day of persecution. But if we do, the Bible said where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. So when we enter into a greater day of trouble, we're going to see more miracles than we've seen before. We're going to see more manifestation of the great power of God than we've seen before. So it has its upside. Amen. It's not good for the flesh, but it's mighty in the spirit. So we may see those times. And the Bible talks about in types and shadows. Now, when we talk about types, we're talking about a symbol of a thing. And a shadow, of course, is a foreshadowing. It's like a person that's walking with sun behind them. You'll see their shadow first. Now, if you can see this, you can't see my shadow, most of you, but the light's behind me and my shadow's out there. See, it foreshadows me. So if you're around the corner I'm walking toward you, then you'll see my shadow before you see me. That's foreshadowing. And that's what we see in the Bible. We see the foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. We see him in the Old Testament, and he casts a shadow to the future. And so these sacrifices, these rituals, in first of all the tabernacle, later in the temple, they were foreshadowing Jesus Christ. And it's awesome. We've studied about all those things. We've talked about the sacrifices. We've talked about the holy days. We've talked about the instruments that they used and the sacrifices that they offered and what they meant. And that's an awesome study. Even the materials of the tabernacle have importance And all of them foreshadow Jesus Christ. And so all of that. But what's interesting, if you've ever seen, how many of you have been to a Search for Truth Bible study or what's the other one? Exploring God's Word is another one. And you saw the layout of the tabernacle, remember that? And what does it form? It forms a cross, doesn't it? Not a circle, not a triangle, but it forms a cross. It literally does. When you lay it out and you come to the temple, you have out here, you've got the holy place, and then you enter the brazen altar, the brazen laver. Then you go into the holy place, and to the left side, you've got a table of shewbread, and then on the right side, you have the altar, and then in front you've got the altar of incense, and all this is, and ahead of course you've got the Holy of Holies, and literally it makes the figure of a cross. Now there's a reason for that. Not only that, but God gave specific instructions that when Israel stopped, that they were to set up the tabernacle in the midst of them. And then he gave specific instructions to each tribe and where they were to camp around that tabernacle. And again, when you look at how they were camped and where they were supposed to be, it formed a cross. Now you wouldn't be able to hardly see that with your eyes. You'd have to be up above it. But God, when he saw his tabernacle, he saw the symbol of a cross. When he saw Israel stop and in their encampment, he saw the cross. It was a foreshadowing. It was something that was coming. And it was representing, of course, Jesus Christ. So even in the Old Testament, it was laid out there. It was a symbol for God. It was a symbol for man. Now, we can see that now. Of course, at that point in time, they didn't perhaps know what that indicated, what that meant. It wasn't for them. It's for us. And at that time, just the sacrifices were enough for them. That was God's plan at that time for those people. But of course, the cross in time affects everybody. Amen. So that was, and then there's the reality of heavenly things. As I said, this not only affects the earth, this affects heaven. The final offering was made, and the Bible says that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may find grace and obtain mercy in time of our need. Amen. And so we have this great high priest that the Bible said he entered one time into the heavens, and he offered sacrifice for us in heaven's altar. Amen. One time for all men. And so it also affects the heavenly. Revelation 11:19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony. So Jesus entered in one time, offered this sacrifice, that shed blood, and forever, that changed things in heaven. Amen. And it changed things on the earth. Change things between the relationship of a righteous God and an unholy human so that God could redeem us by his blood. And so thank God it affected even before the very throne of God this blood of Jesus Christ that was to come. Amen. The reality of Christ's atoning sacrifice. We've talked a little bit about this before, but the Day of Atonement, it's called. The Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur is what the Jews call it. It's the most important religious day in all of Judaism. The Bible calls it, in one place, it's called the Fast. Another place, it's called the Great Day. Another place, it's called the Sabbath of Solemn Rest. And it's simply called the Day. And of course, all Jews know what that is when they talk about the day. Amen. And so it had specific reference. It was the only day of their feast when they actually had to fast. It was a day of fast. It was a solemn assembly. And we know that on the Day of Atonement, that was one day out of every year. It's a very, very special day. that the high priest, not just any priest, but the high priest, that day he would do something he did on no other day of the year. He would take the blood of a bull and the blood of a goat, and he would literally go through the holy place and pass through the veil into the Holy of Holies. And he would take the blood that he had in a basin, and he would sprinkle that on that mercy seat that was lying on top of the altar or the Ark of the Covenant between the outstretched wings of the cherubim and the golden cherubim. He would sprinkle blood there, confessing the sins of Israel. And God would consume a sacrifice that was out on an altar, and that would roll their sins ahead for another year. It was an awesome day when that happened. And it just was one time a year. Yet they had to do it every year. Year after year after year, it was done. And so, of course, we know that this was pressing something ahead. It was pointing, of course, to the cross of Jesus Christ and his one-time sacrifice. Amen. And so that's where it was all going to. It was a type. It was a foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, they offered sacrifices every day, but those sacrifices were for unintentional sins. But on the Day of Atonement, it was for all the sins of all the people and the nation of Israel. So it was a very, very important day in all of their history. Amen. And so Day of Atonement, it was a very specific day, a very specific time, a very specific offering. And this sacrifice was ascending. It was ascending. And it got, of all the things that were going on the earth, on the Day of Atonement, God's eye was fastened on the tabernacle on that day, or the temple, because that was something going on there that he was very, very interested in, because it affected the future. Now, we know that Hebrews 9 and 12 said, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once," if I say once, "into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." There's some words there I want us to note very carefully. First of all, it said by his own blood. That's the first thing you need to know. Secondly, it talks about he entered one time, just one time. And the third thing I want you to notice is he obtained eternal redemption. You see, everything that happened here had to be done again and again and again and again and again. But Jesus Christ entered one time. He offered his, not the blood of a bull or a goat, but one time he offered his blood. And he didn't just roll our sins ahead, but he bought eternal redemption. So that was, this is the reality. This is what was all going toward. Amen. This was the purpose of it all going there. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible in Hebrews 9 and 11 said that it was a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. So the place where Jesus was to offer his blood and his sacrifice was not in the temple, not in the tabernacle. When Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up," they thought he was talking about Solomon's temple, or Herod's temple, as it became known at the time. And that wasn't what he was talking about at all. He was talking about his body. He did what he said too, didn't he? Because they did destroy that body. They killed that body. But on the third day, he resurrected. Amen. Praise the Lord. And because that was the perfect tabernacle, his body. That was the sinless tabernacle. That was the greater tabernacle, was his body. And that was what the offering that he's talking about here. Amen. The reality of the mercy seat. Now, if you remember a little about your Bible, Old Testament, you've seen pictures of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a golden box made of acacia wood. And it contained three items. It contained the law. It contained Aaron's rod that budded, and it contained a pot of manna. And that's what they put in there. And then the outside of that acacia box was covered with beaten gold, pure gold. Must have been a beautiful box. And very, very costly in today's money, it would be. And then on top of that, there was a lid. On that lid, again, was made out of pure gold. My, what a lid that was. And on top of it, it had these two angels or cherubim that were facing one another, and their wings were pointing toward one another, folded wings. And beneath these angels' wings was a saddle or a seat that was there that was called the mercy seat. And so when the priest came into that Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, he would take that blood of the goat and the blood of the bull, and he would literally sprinkle that blood on that mercy seat beneath the wings of the angels, the mercy seat, and he would there profess and confess the sins of the people of Israel, his own sins, being a man, a high priest, but still a human being, and the sins of Israel. And that was what he did on the Day of Atonement. Amen. That was his job. And that's what he did continually. Amen. And then Jesus Christ passed one time into the heavens to offer a sacrifice for us. Isn't that right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, there's symbolism here that perhaps we will not fully understand even until we come to heaven itself, and then we'll understand. Amen. God, in the wilderness, he warned the priests not to enter in the Holy of Holies except on the Day of Atonement. He said, on the penalty of death, he said, if you do that, you'll die. It said, now, I don't know, this is Jewish tradition, I suppose. I've heard all my life that they tied a rope around the priest's leg because if he died in there, they couldn't go get him. And he had bells around the bottom of his rope so that they could hear the tinkling of those bells, and they knew that he was moving around and that he was all right, because nobody could go in there. Nobody could go in there. And so that was some of their inventions about the Day of Atonement, some of their own. You know, that's a little bit of a lack of faith, isn't it? You know, I mean, I know the guy could have a heart attack in there, but it's real doubtful. You know, God told him to go in there. God told him to go in. He'll get him out. Amen. God knew that he was like everybody else. He was a sinful man. So he knew that. His job was to confess and sprinkle the blood of sacrifice for sin. So really, those precautions, if they happened, were not really necessary. Right? Faith in God. Everybody say faith in God. Sometimes, you know, we add our own securities that really are unnecessary. God's going to take care of business. You can trust him. Right? Amen. You can trust him. Always. So, and the Lord told the priest not to go in except on the Day of Atonement. He said, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Everybody say mercy seat. So God expressed his presence at the mercy seat. Moses heard the voice of God coming from between the cherubim, which of course is the mercy seat. Psalm 99:1 tells us that God dwells between the cherubim, that is the mercy seat. So that's one place that God particularly manifests his presence, was the mercy seat. Amen. For some reason, God chose that. So it appears that in heaven, we see this in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, at God's throne, he has these four creatures, angelic beings, that are described in the book of Revelation, and it sounds like the mercy seat. Amen. And so that's the real. Here on the earth, we have a temporal and we have a typical representation of the mercy seat. But Jesus Christ, the Bible said, entered into that holy place not made with hands. Book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. Jesus did not go into the temple, at least into the holy place or the holy of holies. He could have, but he didn't. Now men wouldn't have liked it, but he could have gone there because he's God. Isn't that right? I was to stop him from going anywhere he wants to go, doing anything he wants to do. Hallelujah. But he didn't do that because he knew this is a temporal thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Which are the figures of the true. I say figures. Are symbols of the true. Amen. But into heaven itself. That's where Jesus went. Into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. How do you enter into the presence of God? You don't unless he wants you to. You can be in church and not be in the presence of God. People can be shouting all around you and you can be so far from the presence of God. Hello? Amen. Amen. Or if God wants to, and I know people it's happened to, you can be sitting on a bar stool and the presence of God can appear to you and knock you off of that thing and get you on a road of repentance and back on a road of righteousness. God's presence appears when and where he wants it to. You don't choose. I've heard people say that, well, I'll come to God when I want to. Oh, no, you won't. You're not going to find him unless he chooses to reveal himself to you. God manifests himself to whom and when he chooses. Not according to our choosing, but according to his own desire. Jesus, of course, he entered into the presence of, and that is in the heavenly mercy seat. Amen. He ascended to heaven for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, again, the high priest could not enter in without blood. Blood was absolutely essential. Had to be. As a matter of fact, the scripture said, wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Talking about Jesus, that he might be a merciful, but say merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So he was made like us. With the exceptions, he was merciful. Some of us are merciful some of the time. Shake your head like this. That's right, brother. Sometimes I'm a merciful human being. And sometimes I'm a miserable human being. Sometimes I want mercy, sometimes I want justice. You be careful about the justice part now. Amen. David found that out, didn't he? Remember that? And whenever Nathan the prophet came before David sitting on his throne and he told him that sad story about this man that had one little lonely sheep, and this rich man had a guest. And he went and took that man's only sheep that he had and gave it, slaughtered it and gave it to this his guest. And that poor man lost his sheep. David, being a shepherd, he got up so set, he jumped up and he said, who is it? He said, I'll take care of this. And Nathan pointed his long bony finger and he said, thou art the man. And all of a sudden, David didn't want justice anymore. He wanted mercy. Amen. We think we want justice. People do us wrong. We want God to fry them. Shake your head like this right here. Mm-hmm. You've been there. Yeah. God, you won't let them get away with that. Look how they look what they said to me. Look what they did to me. I want justice. But as soon as we do something wrong, we want mercy. Amen. Jesus was a merciful and faithful. I say faithful. Never fail. Not one time. The Bible said without sin. And so he was a worthy sacrifice. And the only one. There's no other. Amen. Without atonement, there can be no mercy. And without the shedding of blood, there's no atonement. God said without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And that was God's price. He set that himself. He demanded that price. God put the price tag on redemption and on forgiveness, didn't he? And reconciliation. Atonement. Amen. Atonement means that there has to be a price paid. Something has to appease. Amen. Something has to fulfill the righteousness of God so that his anger can subside and his justice can be met. And of course, the only one that can do that's God himself. Humans couldn't do it, could they? Devils can't do it. Angels can't do it. They're spirit beings. They don't have any blood. Human beings can't do it because our blood's already stained with sin. We can't even atone for our own sins, much less the sins of another. But in the fullness of time, God, who is perfect and pure and righteous, God, who is spirit, took upon himself a human form, a body with blood, so that he could sacrifice that body and shed that blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes away our sin. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Amen. I know people today, they don't want to emphasize the blood of Jesus. Say, we don't want a slaughterhouse religion. Well, you can make whatever religion you want. It does not matter. But without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. They want to say, let's talk about the love of God. Yes, let's talk about the love of God. There's no greater expression of love ever in the history of humanity than the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no other religion where the God of that religion would take upon himself a human form and become the sacrifice so that he could redeem his people. Does not exist except Jesus Christ. That's the love of God. Oh, I want to just talk about the love of Jesus. I want to talk about the blood. Amen. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission. And without atonement, there can be no mercy. Amen. We have to come God's way, don't we? I said, we have to come God's way. Well, somebody said, my idea is just as good as yours. You're right. I agree with you. I absolutely agree. If it's your idea and my idea, fine. We both got ideas. But when we talk about the Bible, we're talking about a whole another level. Then it's not my idea, it's not your idea, it's what the Word of God says. Amen. So that puts us in a whole different light when we see the Word of God, right? Amen. Then it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about God and His Word. Amen. And so we're studying the Word of God today. The danger of rejecting Christ's mercy. Amen. Can you even imagine doing that? That to me, I can't even imagine doing that. I read about a man that did. He's well known in the business world and the media world. And I remember one time reading the statement. I don't know, I wasn't there when he said it, but according to the record, he said it. He said, I didn't ask Jesus to die for me. Well, you're right, Mr. Turner. You didn't ask Jesus to die for you. But he did. And you will be accountable for that blood. Yes, you will. You will be accountable for what you do about what Jesus Christ did for you. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to believe it. You can make fun of it. You can do whatever you want to. But you will be accountable. Amen. That's what happens when you're God. I said, that's what happens when you're God. Amen. You get to make the rules. And he did. And so Jesus came, shed his blood, so that he could redeem us. That was the whole purpose of it all. Amen. Did you know if Jesus hadn't come and sacrificed himself, we would never even have a chance at salvation. We would be forever separated from God. The Bible said we have acceptance or entrance by the blood. By the blood. The only way to get to God is through the blood. No other place, no other way. Amen. And so we have to do this. Amen. There's no other way, no other path. Paul said that, didn't he? Galatians 1 and 8. He said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul put his own self in that. He said, if I change my mind. Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's exclusive. I know it is. That's why it's important, folks, that we get this gospel out to the whole world. If this is, and we believe this is the only gospel that saves, we need to be busy about getting it out there. Amen. Right? Yeah, that's true. Amen. I think it was Gandhi that said to Christian missionaries, he said, if I honestly believe what you say you believe and that Jesus is the only Savior, he said, I would crawl my way across this nation begging every man I could find to come to Jesus Christ. That should disturb us. Amen. We need to be busy about getting this gospel to every creature so that every person can have an opportunity to be saved. Amen. That's not just the pastor's responsibility. Amen. But it is the pastor's responsibility. That's your responsibility. But not only your responsibility. It involves every member of the church. All of us that have been recipients of the great grace of God. It's our job to tell others. Amen. Accepted by God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? I love that verse in the book of Ephesians that talks about being accepted in the beloved. Isn't it a good feeling to be accepted? Anybody like being accepted? Don't it feel good? Just to come into a place and know that you belong there and you're accepted. Anybody ever been rejected? That feels bad, don't it? That's the cold pricklies. When you get rejected. Acceptance is the warm fuzzies. I like being accepted. Amen. Now there are some places I will be rejected, and I know that. But I'm glad I can be accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. When I come to the throne of God, I'm accepted. Hallelujah. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm accepted. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All of us, we are accepted because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the reason. Hebrews 10, 11, 14. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. That was it every day, every day. Offering sacrifice. No one. Same sacrifices. Over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. But it changes with this word. But this man. Who's this man? Jesus. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Isn't that awesome? My goodness gracious. How can that be? Because his righteousness so far exceeded our sinfulness that God thought it to be righteousness. Amen. God accounted it as righteousness. Amen. He looked at the blood of Jesus and he looked at all the sins of every man from Adam to the very last human being on the face of the earth. And God said, I think the blood of Jesus Christ is worth more than all of this. And he said his righteousness far outweighs all of their sinfulness. And so God can impute righteousness to us because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why you can't come to God without Him. You cannot stand in your own righteousness before God. I know there are proud and boastful and ignorant human beings that want to just shake their fist at God. That's because they've never seen God. I promise you, when the skies roll back and God is revealed, the Bible said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. There's not going to be any pride. There's not going to be any arrogance in that day. But everybody's going to fall down. And the Bible said they're literally going to say to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of God. Amen. It's one thing to talk about arrogantly something you've never seen and never experienced until that day comes. But when the wrath of God comes upon the world, it's going to be a different story. Amen. Praise the Lord. But thank God for the sacrifice that allows us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's like a remedy that has been discovered or an inoculation. You know, for years, polio was a dread disease, and people got polio, and there's still a few people around that had it, and they're still affected by that. Amen. But Jonas Salk found an inoculation that works against polio. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing that they can take this antidote and inject it into a human body, and it totally annihilates polio, and it can't abide there. It can't affect that human being because it is so powerful, an antidote. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does for human beings. Amen. We have all been affected by sin. Amen. The blood of Jesus is so powerful, it can defeat sin in us. Amen. One time we were sinners, but we don't have to live that way anymore. Isn't that right? Amen. Praise God. Yes, every now and then we say things we shouldn't say, or we may do some things we shouldn't do, but we don't live that way every day. Amen. We're no longer bound under sin. We're no longer slaves to sin, but we have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ that destroyed our sins. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for that. Amen. Jesus is the only one. He's the only way. And there is no other. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, did they continue offering sacrifices after Jesus was crucified? Yep. Did it do any good? Nope. It was a ritual, nothing more. Hallelujah. I said it was a ritual, nothing more. I mean, you can offer all the bulls you want to today. Go out there and build you an altar. Have fun. But I promise you, not one sin is going to be affected except by the blood of Jesus Christ. One sacrifice. Amen. For all men. For all time. And that's the only sacrifice that will work. It's the only efficacious sacrifice. Amen. Praise the Lord. God desires sweet offerings of praise in recognition of His finished work of redemption. Amen. No sacrifice we could make could earn salvation. So what do? The Bible says, offer yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God doesn't want an old dead sacrifice. It didn't do any good when it was offered. It was just pointing the way to the sacrifice. Amen. So what do you do today, Brother Wesley? You offer your praise to God, a living sacrifice. Every day you get up out of your bed and you say, God, help me to do right today. Help me to stay righteous. Help me to be clean. Help me to be pure. Help me to be a good a witness today. Amen. Give me the right words to say. Amen. Help me to live right today. Don't let sin get in my heart today. Don't let unrighteousness get in my way. I want to be a good example of Christianity. I want to be a living sacrifice. Amen. That's how we repay this debt, or that's all we can offer. Amen. You don't offer turtle doves and goats and lambs and bulls Offer yourself. Jesus, use me. That's what you do. Amen. Every day you offer yourself as a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, I believe about verse 25, said there remaineth no more sacrifice. No other sacrifice. No other sacrifice. Only Jesus Christ. Did you know that the Jews tried to return to temple sacrifice even after they'd received the Holy Ghost? They did. Some of them tried to go back. Amen. Paul wrote to them. Let me read a little bit of this to you real quickly here from the book of Galatians. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. Because there were people preaching it's okay for you to have the Holy Ghost, but you got to offer sacrifices. Why? They didn't do any good the first time they were offered. Other than to point to Jesus Christ. Amen. Those sacrifices can't save us. And he said it again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Is there some work that you can do that'll make you righteous? No. No. You started out in the Holy Ghost. You're going to finish this in the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul said, But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, people like to make real complicated religions, don't they? Some religions are so complicated. People like to do that. They like complicated stuff. Hear me today. If somebody comes to you and they've got deep things from God, and only a few can understand this, you really got to be enlightened to understand what we teach around here. This is deep stuff. You run from that as fast as you can get. Paul talked about what? The simplicity of Christ. You want me to tell you how simple it is? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's how simple it is, and that will never change. There are no deeper things. There are no, oh, we have these hidden books that have been discovered. There are no hidden books. I said, there are no hidden books. Amen. Well, what about Joseph Smith? You know, God actually, or the angel Moroni appeared to him, and he wrote on golden tablets. We don't know whatever happened to him, but he wrote on them. We never saw any of them. And they don't exist. Amen. But according to Joseph Smith, that's what happened. And there's a whole lot of folks that believe that today. Amen. What did Paul say? He said, and I, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Amen. He made it very plain, very simple, didn't he? Amen. I'm hurrying on here. Amen. The danger of rejecting Christ's atonement. Is there a danger? Yes, there's a danger. Can you reject him? Yes, you have that possibility. You have that right if you so choose. God's not going to make you worship him. God's not going to make you serve him. That's your choice. That's your choice. You have to make up your own mind what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. Just as they did back then. We have to decide today. Amen. Praise the Lord. But as for me, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's all I want. Jesus Christ. I love this. Reference Psalm 103 verse 12. Amen. By the power of his blood he separated us from our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Now that's a long ways. Somebody pointed something out about this verse I didn't recognize when I first read it. Notice he did not say north from south. He said east from west. You know why he said that? Because if you start traveling north because of the curvature of the earth. You're going to reach a place where you're going to turn and you're going to start going south. Isn't that right? So you will meet, north will meet south. You'll at some point, you'll pass the North Pole and you'll start going south. He didn't say north from south. He said east to west. You know what happens? If you start over here in you start here in Athens and you start going west, you say, well, I'm going to go west. You know what? You'll always be going, you'll never meet east, ever. You can travel, you can follow the circumference of the earth, and you're still going to be going west. You'll never stop going west. In other words, you'll never meet east, ever. And so what he's saying is, you'll never meet your sins again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, he said, I'm going to remove them as the east from the west. If you'll never going to meet your sins again. Praise the Lord. Hey, that's good news. Amen. I'm glad that I'm not ever going to have to see my sins again. Amen. They're under the blood today of Jesus Christ. That scarlet thread that started in the book of Genesis, amen, goes all the way to the throne of God. In this life, I don't have to face them again. What do you mean, Brother Grissom? Well, sometimes people bring stuff up. You ever had anybody bring something up from your past? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I'm in what you used to be. Well, the key word here is used to be. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm not anymore. Amen. That's what was. What is. Amen. I'm a child of God. I've been washed in the blood and filled with the Holy Ghost and sealed by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. My life has been changed. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Amen. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus? Let's stand and give him thanks right now. Would you do that? Stand to your feet and raise your hands and your voice. And let's just thank Jesus right now for his blood. Amen. I thank you today, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Worship. Lord bless you. You can be seated. It's so good to see everybody on this good Sunday morning. It's good to have Sister Freder back in the house this morning. Also, Brother Johnny Cooper, that's good to have you back this morning. You have another song, Sister Sheree? Have another song? You in this place this morning, God. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we love you in this place, God. Thank you, Lord, for the presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, bless you. You can be seated. And I forgot one thing. We have a new person in church this morning. Also, my fiance, my future wife, Miss Talika, she left out Friday afternoon about 4 o'clock and drove about 6 hours to Tallahassee, then slept over and came on in. So she's a Texas-bound person for now, until God say otherwise. But I'm glad to have her here with me. And I believe God is going to do great things in our lives and in our ministries and everything. So, I love you, Booski. We have one more song.
Well, I love Jesus.
Not
deserve all the glory and the honor and the praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord bless you. You can be seated. I would like to make a few announcements. Today at 1:20, the bus will be leaving to go to Canton for service over there. And then tonight we have pastor's appreciation at the church. It's a potluck. Potluck? Yep. Everybody bring something for your family and everybody. And that's pastor's appreciation. Tuesday night, there's a ladies' meeting, February the 26th at 7 p.m. in a annex kitchen. Food is baked potatoes with the trimmings, dessert, and drinks. And if you need to know more about it, check with Sister Fry. Wednesday night is midweek Bible study, prayer at 6:30, church at 7 o'clock. Is there any singles mingles? No singles mingle? Next month. Spanish Express Thursday night, bus will leave at 6:20, and start all back over again Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Oh, yes, I forgot. Saturday evening, I don't know exactly the time. Get with Brother Bacon. He's the youth pastor. But I think it's around 2 or 4 that evening. We're going to be making tamales, and they're $10 a dozen. It's to help the youth group to go to HYC. We're kind of short on some cash. So it's to help the youth group to go to HYC. So if y'all don't mind coming out and supporting the youth group, I mean, we have an awesome youth group and everything. So, I mean, if y'all don't mind coming out, amen, come out and support us and, you know, buy tamales from us. I mean, they're going to be good. I mean, I'm going to buy 2 dozen. I already got my name on them. I'm getting 2 dozen. So that's all I know so far. At this time, can we take up the offering? Brother Wesley.
Father, we thank you for the fellowship and your spirit this morning. We thank you for the blessings and abundance that you have given us. Lord, we ask you to bless this offering, those who have to give and those who have not to give. Bless it, multiply, use it for your good. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I will bless that wonderful name of Jesus.